20 and verse number 1, and we'll go ahead and stand. Get into our lesson for tonight. Acts chapter 20. Once you found your place, if you could stand. And we're hoping to finish out Paul's magnificent seven that we said that he had picked out last time. We are on number 5, and that was Timothy. Good to have the Taylors back in town with us, minus one Taylor. And Kamani, of course, is at the BJU. And when do classes start for him, brother? Classes start today. Oh, my soul. Ooh. Antoinette, your classes start yet? You said that with grief. It's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. Acts chapter 20, amen. And any word on how Kamani felt on his first day, brother? Amen. 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 And bikes are good. Amen. Amen. I didn't have a bike at college, but I wish I had one. Amen. That's why I borrowed other people's. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. We've already covered 1, 2, 3. And we're going to start with 4 and 5. This is Paul's, as I would call it, magnificent seven. If you can't pronounce the names, don't worry. I'm probably not pronouncing them right either, although I've phonetically checked and I still cannot pronounce them that good. Verse number 4, let's go ahead and read that together, 4 and 5. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And as we said before, some believe that some of these seven men may have been utilized by Paul to help get the offering from where they were going up in the Corinth area and the Achaia area, all the way down to the Christians and Jerusalem. So it is believed that some of them may have been handpicked. And if so, we began to look at some qualities that these men may have had to travel with Paul and to be trusted with the finances. And also just to be able to travel with Paul, period. Amen. You can't just travel with Paul if you're a wimp. Amen. How many are terrible travelers? You don't like traveling. Don't like sitting in the car. Back hurts. Legs hurt. Head hurts. Amen. Some folks just can't travel well, whether it's by plane, by car, or train. They just don't travel well. But then others travel very well, and they'd rather travel than stay put. Amen. These men would have to be very, very abreast to traveling, being with Paul, and also danger. And so there's got to be some qualities there. That's what we're looking at right now. Let's look at those tonight. Father, bless now in our ministry. Lord, bless in the ministering of the word. And Lord, bless in the message that we may understand more of the quality and the character of person that is needed in the ministry, especially if they're going to be a missionary for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, just to get us caught up, we entitled this whole area here, Paul on the Move for the Master, and we saw Paul's mission after Ephesus in verses 1, 2, and 3, and we saw his exit to Macedonia, his exhortation at Macedonia, and then his exhortation at Greece, and then his escape to Macedonia as he went and doubled back because of fear that someone was going to get him. Then we pick it up at verse number 4. We began to talk about Paul's ministers after Ephesus. And I asked this question last week. If you knew you were about to embark upon a mission or a ministry, and you look back over all your years of service to the Lord and all the places that you've been, who sticks out in your mind as somebody that you would take along with you? Sure, there's got to be somebody that you would say, man, that brother or that sister or that teenager or that young person or that single or that couple, you know, they really stood out. They really ministered for God. I love their faithfulness. I love their stickability. I love the way they were able to minister through their problems and their adversities. I love that quality of character. I'm sure if we thought back, all of us could think of somebody or somebodies that we would take with us. Paul, having gone through the areas of Troas and Asia and all of this area here now, has amassed a group of men that he has met along the way. And they're going to wait for him at Troas, according to verse number 5, and their names are listed in verse number 4. And we began looking at them last week to see what quality or what character traits we could pick out from them. By the way, if you could pick one word for yourself that you say others would say about you, what would that word be? A good word. A good word. Depends on if it's picky, not a nuisance. No, not words like that. I'm talking about a good word. Faithful, reliable, dependable, trustworthy, honest. If they could pick one word, what do you think the majority of the people would say about you? One thing my wife says, she said, you know, honey, I praise God that you are very, very structured and routine. I mean, you like to go that way, and no matter what happens, it may not be good, but you're going to go anyway. And you're just going to stick with the stuff. What is it about you that people would say of your character and your quality, would they say is about you? Cheerful? Folks say, man, you always smiling. Better smile than frown. Amen. Now, just contemplate that for a minute. The majority of the people, what would they say about you? Because obviously Paul saw something in these seven men. And what he saw in these men, I bet others probably saw the same thing. Because oftentimes you pick people based upon what you see in them. And he's got these seven men, and he's picked them for a reason to travel with him, and they have gone over the Troas. And so think about that. You say, man, Pastor, I can't think of anything. You ask somebody else, I bet they'll tell you. He said, no, I don't want to ask anybody else. After we get done, ask somebody, say, what am I known for? If they say whining, complaining, and moaning, and groaning, then you've got to pick a better word, amen? You want to pick something as faithful and trustworthy. So we started with these guys here. We looked at Sopater first. We found out that Sopater, one of the things about him was relational. And we found him over in Romans chapter 16 and verse 21. It's possible he was a relative of Paul, and Paul picked him. We looked at there's some advantages to having relatives with you, but there's also some disadvantages to having relatives with you as well. Amen. Then we looked at this guy named Aristarchus, and we saw that he was a guy that was flexible. And we saw him in Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. He was one of Paul's companions in travel. But not only was he flexible, we saw that he was faithful, because after getting drugged into the theater in 19, he's still with Paul in Acts chapter 20. Now, think about it. If you hung around somebody and you got beat up all the time, would you stick with them? You say, Mama trained me better. No, I'm going to drop that turkey. Amen. He's out of here. Amen. But they knew that Paul had a cause for Jesus Christ. And they knew that Paul's cause was a just cause. And so they were willing to suffer and get beat up for a just cause. Now, if you're getting beat up just to be getting beat up for beat up's sake, amen, that's another story. But if it's the cause of Christ, and these guys said, that's a noble cause. That's a great cause. That's something that we want to suffer for. And so if you suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, happy are ye. Amen. And so they're excited. They don't mind. And so there was Aristarchus here. He was faithful, and he was also flexible. Then there's Secundus, and he is not mentioned any other place than just right here. And we saw that he had to, at the bare minimum, be spiritual. If you're going to travel on missions, you've got to be spiritual. Got to be spiritual. And we saw at a very base, he's probably saved, he's probably a soul winner, and he's probably surrendered, and we saw those things. Then we looked at Gaius, and we saw that this may or may not be the same Gaius, and we saw him in a couple different places. One was Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. We saw he's durable, because he actually was one of those that got beat up in verse 29 of chapter 19. But then we saw him in Romans 16 and verse 23, and saw that he was hospitable. He was able to have guests in that were traveling through. And by the way, you want to be hospitable, but because back in the days, there was no Motel 6. There was no Days Inn. There was no Residence Inn. There was no courtyard. Amen. There was none of that. And so most Christians, as they traveled, they were at the mercy of who? Other Christians. Because if you didn't have some money, guess what? You weren't going to get the inn. What happened to Jesus and Mary? No room at the inn. Now, I bet you if Joseph would have flashed some gold, I bet there would have been some room that would have manifested real quickly. But Joseph and Mary didn't have anything. There was no room in the inn, so they had to go other places. So back in these days, when you traveled, it behooved you to be hospitable to Christians. Now, what's the danger of that when you're being hospitable to others? the obvious. You might get taken advantage of. Somebody may show up at your door and say, I'm a Christian. And they may know the lingo. And they may soak you for 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then you find out they were abandoned and robbed you. Amen. And so at times they had to have letters of commendation to show that they were authentic. Sometimes they didn't, but that was one of those dangers back in those days. There was no, you go on the internet and look for predators. Couldn't do that. Amen. And so people got taken advantage of. So that was Gaius. And then we stopped at Timothy. And Acts chapter 16, let's go back there. Timothy. And Timothy is of Derbe as well, like Gaius. Acts chapter 16, and we found Timothy here. And we saw some of the things about Timothy, and we saw that Timothy seems to be Paul's most beloved disciple, and he was used very much. And the reason why, he was pliable, and we looked at the word pliable. It means able to bend, fold, or twist easily, supple enough to bend freely or repeatedly without breaking, yielding readily to others, and adjustable to varying circumstances. Now tell me that's not a missionary's quality right there. That's a missionary's resume right there. Notice this again, pliable, able to bend, fold, or twist easily, supple enough to bend freely or repeatedly without breaking, yielding readily to others, and adjustable to varying conditions. Why? Missionaries had to go through that. They had to go through that. I was just talking to missionary to Keo as we went out to lunch, and he was just talking about the different villages and things that he had to do and what he had to go through on a regular basis. And man, just listening to him, I thought, man, you've got to be flexible. You've got to be adjustable. I mean, you've got to be able to vary what you do and how you do it. And he began to just talk about some of the villages and what he went through. And I thought, wow, God definitely called the right person. Amen. I don't know if I'm that pliable and adjustable like that. Amen. And so those are some things we saw. He was teachable and trainable. Notice what it says down in verse number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple. Disciple means what? A learner. Was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. And so we saw that he was teachable and he was trainable because he was a disciple. So he had to be willing to be taught and trained that he could learn. Then in verse 2, we saw that he was also mannerable. Notice verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So that's another word. He was a mannerable person. He was well reported of. And so everybody knew him in the area. And again, the majority of people that know you, what are you known for or as? The majority of the people that know you, what are you known for or as? When you think about this person, when they think about you, what do they think of? And then when I think about Steve, I think punctual. He's on time. He's going to be on time. You don't have to worry about that. He's going to be on time. Punctual. Boom. He's going to be there. You say, that's all I'm known for? No, much more, brother. Amen. But think about it. What are you known for? He was mannerable. He was known throughout that area. And because he was known throughout that area, he was well reported of the brethren. So obviously he had some mannerisms with him. He had some character about him, had some diplomacy about him. He knew how to handle himself and situations and issues, obviously, because he was well reported of. Now, if he'd have roughshodded and ran over people and beat up people and talked ill of people, do you think he'd have been well reported of? Probably not. But Timothy could handle himself in such a way, and so he was mannerable. And then there's another one we left off with last week, adaptable. Notice verse number 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. And I ask this question. If it meant going to the missions field, how many would readily say, I'm going to be circumcised? Probably not many. Now, if you're really called, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be circumcised if you're really called. If you're really called. Is it necessary? No, but Timothy knew that I could be more advantageous and more usable and more useful if I can reach both Jew and Gentile. By the way, think about this. Now, this is a reality. Look at the color of your skin. Do you know you can readily reach your color the best? It's going to take something for you to go outside of yourself to reach others. And that being said, I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying you're going to be more identifiable with those that are the same color that you are. Now, that being said, can we break the stereotype and go beyond that? Yes, we can, because the power of Christ has told us to go ye therefore and teach the gospel to how many people? All people. And so we know that we can go beyond the color barrier. Yes, ma'am. That's a good question. They might have played show and tell. So no, I'm just joking. I'm not. Maybe it was a. It may have been a code of honor that, you know, to say something like that. I'm not really sure. Maybe there was some paperwork that went along with it. I have no idea how they could authenticate that other than show and tell. But you would think that they would be men of the honor. If they were or if they were not, they would not perpetrate. That's a good question. How could they authenticate that? Anybody know the answer to that? How could they authenticate whether they were or not? I don't know. Other than that, the old sneak and peek came in. They weren't Scottish, so they couldn't do that. Amen. Oh, so good question, sister. I don't know. But anyway, circumcision. I would not want to volunteer for that unless I knew for a fact that was the will of God for me. I'm not going to subject myself to that pain unless I know this is God's will for me. Now, by the way, if it's God's will for you, it's not an issue at all. Can I get an amen? If it's God's will, you're not going to have an issue with that at all. I knew it was God's will to come to Belgium. I didn't have an issue with that at all. I just thought that he was going to send me back once I got here. And then guess what? He didn't send me back. Then I had an issue. Say, what'd you do with the issue? I took it up with God. What'd he do? Put me on my back. And what'd I do? Got rid of the issue. Quickly, amen. Notice what it says again down there. Him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. He knew he would be more of an asset to Paul having had this done. Again, he wants to reach all people. And we looked at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 because he knows it's going to be difficult to reach them unless he has that. And so oftentimes we can easily reach our own color. Sometimes that's difficult. Amen. But God has called us to go outside of our color and reach every color. Amen. Why? Everybody needs to be saved. One of the things that Tu Keo told me that he enjoys about coming to our church is the diversity. He said, you know what? He said, we get so caught up in color and being of the same. He said, and I'm speaking to my own people. He said, my people want to just reach the Cambodians. He said, we got a church full of Cambodians. He said, there's a lot of other people around except Cambodians. He says, and also they want to just reach the Koreans or they want to reach the Japanese. He said, there's a whole lot of other. He said, and the stigma is I'm only going to reach this people. He says, and God's called us to reach all people. And he said, yeah, I come here, and he said, it's refreshing to see that. He said, I've traveled a lot of churches. He said, this is one of the very few that I see with a mixture. And he said, as a result, I want to bring my wife back here because I love being here. And by the way, folks, that's true. Taylor just went back to South Carolina. I'm sure they saw that that's true. Pastor White goes to North Carolina. He knows it's true. The Wilkersons just went down to Alabama. Alabama, I'm sure it's true. Brother Shirk's been down to California. It happens. Now, right, wrong, or indifferent, that it's just a fact of the matter. I can reach my color better than I can reach anybody else. But I've got to reach more than just my color if I'm going to be Bible. Can I get an amen? And so Timothy, knowing that, says, I've got no problem doing this so that I can reach my Jewish friends over here whom Paul is burdened for. By the way, did Paul have a burden for his people? Yes, he did. Did that stop him from reaching all people? No, it didn't. And Timothy says, if I'm going to travel with you, Paul, I know you've got a burden for your people. And we're going to be around your people quite a lot. And because we're going to be around your people quite a lot, I want to be useful to you. So I'm going to allow myself to be circumcised. And by the way, who didn't want to get circumcised? We saw last week. Anybody remember? Titus. Titus said, I've got no use for that. Go hold your finger there. Go to Galatians. Titus said, I've got no use for that at all. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul is talking about going up to Jerusalem after meeting with the Lord. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He said, I went to check privately first to make sure, hey, look, y'all got a problem with me reaching Gentiles? If y'all got a problem with that, then I'll just leave now and I'll go my merry way and y'all just won't get the blessing. But I'm going anyway. But I want to check with y'all first privately before we go publicly and y'all kick me out. Then notice what he says in verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a what? Greek, was compelled to be what? Circumcised. He said, Titus says, I'm not compelled to do that. If that's what you're going to do, Paul, praise God for you. If Timothy wouldn't do that, hallelujah for him. But as for me and my circumcision, we ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. So not everybody was wanting to be as useful as Timothy. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. And so we saw that Timothy was adaptable. He was mannerable. He was teachable. He was trainable. He was pliable. And then I want you to notice this next word that I think that Timothy was. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. And who's there that can read that for me? See this next character trait. Joe, go ahead and read that for me. Amen. He was movable. Now, again, back in Acts chapter 16, you find he went down there to Troas waiting for Paul. But over here, Paul had told him to go down here to this area called Ephesus and stay there whilst he went into Macedonia. And he said, look, I want you to get these guys trained that they don't teach any other doctrine. So I find that here, Timothy was movable. He didn't mind moving around at Paul's request to do what Paul would have him to do. He was movable. I could dispatch him. And it's been a joy of mine to be able to send Pastor White places to preach when I couldn't go. It's been a joy of mine to have Brother Serge go to places and preach when I couldn't preach. And preachers would call and say, hey, look, can you come down and preach here or can you do this? And I said, I can't come. They say, well, can you send somebody? And I've been able to send some of our men down there. Why? They're movable. I can move them out and send them to places and have them do the will of God and the work of God whilst I stay here. And on the same token, I can move and go out there and preach revival out here in Desert Springs Baptist Church again in October into November. And guess what? I've got men that can stay here and still handle the word of God. So he was movable here, and I see that that strength in him, and he had that about him. There's something else I see about him, not just movable, adaptable, mannerable, teachable, and trainable, and pliable. Go over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. What are these? These are qualities and character traits that you and I want to have in God's ministry so that we can be utilized by God more effectively in the things that he would have us to do. Now, can I just have one quality and one character trait and God use me? Yes. But he could use you a whole lot more if you had more. Notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send who? Timotheus. Who's he writing to? Philippi. So is he movable? Yes. One minute you see him abiding in Ephesus. Now he's saying, I'm going to send Titus down there to Philippi. He says, now I trust to send Timotheus shortly unto you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Notice verse 20. For I have no man, what's that word? Like-minded. Paul said, you know, I've got very few men. Matter of fact, I have nobody that thinks the way I think when it comes to reaching Jew and Gentile and is willing to sacrifice and give it all up. I don't know of anybody that is just like me, that has that heart of Jesus Christ, that doesn't see color. They don't see people. They just see souls for Christ. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they are. He's like-minded like me. And I'm like-minded like Christ. And I can send him to you. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He says, he's going to care for you just like I would, like a pastor would. He says, I love you, and I'm going to send Timothy. And Timothy loves me, and so because Timothy loves me, he loves you. And he's going to take care of you. Notice what he says in verse 21. For all seek their what? Own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, everybody's got a self-centered agenda when it comes to the gospel, it seems. They're not in it for Jesus Christ. They want to see what they can get out of it. But he said, look, you know what? This guy, Timothy, he's like-minded. He's like me. He has that mind and that heart that like I have. He said, everybody else that I wanted to send down there, they've got an agenda, but not Timothy. Timothy's like-minded. He's like me. Now, think about that. If you want to send somebody, you want to send somebody that's like you, don't you? As far as their mindset when it comes to the cause of Christ, when it comes to the gospel, you want to send somebody like you, that thinks like you. I dare not send somebody that doesn't think like me and go and preach heresy. Amen. I'm not going to teach somebody that's double-hearted or double-minded. I'm not going to send somebody like that. He said, I'm going to send Timothy. and he's like-minded. What do I find about him? He's reliable and he's faithful, according to this passage of scripture here. He's reliable and he's faithful. So the qualities that we find in Timothy that needs to be in every Christian, he's pliable, he's teachable, he's trainable, he's mannerable, he's adaptable, he's movable, he's reliable, he's faithful. That's the type of person that Paul says, I have in Timothy. Let's look at a couple of these other guys here. Go back to Acts chapter 20. See if we can get these guys taken care of here real quick. Acts chapter number 20. The next guy on the list there in chapter 20 and the verse number 4 is a guy by the name of Tychicus. Tychicus. And Tychicus is of Asia, it says. And by the way, two qualities that stick out here, and we'll see those here in just a minute when it comes to Tychicus that I want us to draw attention to. Verse number 20. Everybody there? It says down there, oops, got the wrong page. Okay, yes. Timotheus and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And both of these guys are from the Asia area. One of the first things that I first see in Tychicus is found over in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And by the way, this is a necessary trait in anybody that's going to travel with Paul. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 7 and verse number 8. And who's there can read Colossians 4, 7 and 8? Jeremiah, go ahead. Amen. So Paul says, you know what? Writing to the church at Colossae, he said, you know, I've got this guy named Tychicus. And he said, one of the first things about him, he's lovable. He's a beloved brother. Next thing I find out about him, he's faithful. He says he's a faithful minister. Next thing, he's a fellow servant. So he is both lovable and he's faithful and he is a servant. He said, I'm going to send him down there. Now again, why would Paul surround himself with these seven men? Because of their qualities, because of their characters. And anybody in ministry is going to look for this type of person. Amen. By the way, we also strive to be people like these seven, have these characters, character quality traits in our lives. So he's lovable and he is faithful. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. So he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. And you're going to find almost a similar statement to the church at Ephesus, chapter 6. And who's got verses? Let somebody read verses 21 and 22. Who's got that? Get Katie. Katie, go ahead. So he was able to send Tychicus not just to Colossae, but to Ephesus with the same commendation. He said, you know what? He's a faithful brother. He's a lovable. He's servant. He can declare what I want and let me know what's going on with you as well. If you're going to have a minister, you want to have somebody like this. Amen. Why? He can be sent to Ephesus as well as Colossae. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. And he said, look, I'm going to let him know all this. And he said, you know what? I want your hearts to be comforted when you see him. And he's got my mind and my heart as well. So those are two things that we see in Tychicus. He is lovable and he's faithful. There's something else. Go over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Say, preacher, how do we get these qualities in our lives? I'm glad you asked. Hard knocks. Doesn't come easy, amen. By the way, if I'm going to be a beloved brother, what may I have to put up with and go through? Love covers what? There you go. If I'm going to be a beloved brother, love covers a multitude of sin. I've got to be willing to go through the hardships and forgive Paul and then have Paul forgive me, too, when I make a boo-boo or when he makes a boo-boo or whatever happens on the missions field. Or maybe when I get tired and want to give up and Paul's got to give me a little spiritual kick. Amen. I've got to say, man, I love you, Paul. Thank you for that spiritual nudge. Amen. Let's go on for the glory of God. And so I've got to be able to have that kind of skin to be a beloved brother. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Who's got that one? Read that. 3:12. Got that? Titus 3:12. Anybody there? Go ahead, Steve. Amen. So now over here, he's sending Tychicus down here to Titus with some greetings and saying, look, you know, I'm going to send Artemis unto you, or maybe Tychicus, whoever's going to be there. But when I send them, when they come to you, you make sure you come to me. Why? Tychicus is a beloved brother. He's a faithful servant. He's going to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so here I find that he's reliable. 2 Timothy 4:12. Let's go back there. 2 Timothy 4:12. And in 2 Timothy 4:12, notice what he says down here in verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come surely unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Notice this, and Tychicus have I sent to where? Ephesus. He says, you know what, Tychicus, I've got him involved. Some of these other guys have left me. They kind of left me high and dry. But Tychicus, I sent him over to Ephesus. I sent him to Colossae. I sent him over to Titus. I've got Tychicus busy. Why? Because he's lovable. He's faithful. He's reliable. This last guy we see is Trophimus of Asia. Go back to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 20. Trophimus of Asia. So we got Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. And you find him here, but you also find him in chapter 21. Go over to chapter 21. There's something about this guy that I want to show you. Trophimus. In Acts chapter number 21, notice verse 27. It says down there, if I get on the right page, I'll find it. Amen. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, this is Paul they saw in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men in Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and that polluted this holy place. And notice verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city, who was that? Trophimus, an Ephesian. Notice the rest of it. Whom they what? Suppose that Paul had brought into the temple. What do we find out about this guy named Trophimus? They assumed that Paul had brought him in the temple. And Paul obviously would not do something like that and jeopardize his ministry to the Jewish people. And so knowing that, this guy named Trophimus had to be what I would call reasonable. Reasonable. You say, preacher, why reasonable? Because he was reasonable enough to understand that I can't go into certain parts in the temple. There's a part where Jews can go, and there's a part where Jews cannot go. And I will not go where I'm not supposed to go, because I'm not going to jeopardize the mission that Paul has to the Jewish people. They suppose that he went there. So Paul might have told him beforehand, Trophimus, you know, I'm going into the temple. Now, you know, there's certain areas that are off limits. Now, I know it's not a custom that you and I have because you're not Jewish. But, you know, bear with me here. Let me go into these areas. And I want you to be reasonable. You know, you stay out here and you go on the inside. Now, did he have to do that? No. He didn't have to do that. What did he not want to jeopardize? His ministry to the Jewish people. And so he would not object to the Jewish law preventing Gentiles from going to certain sections of the temple. And so I say that he would be this word called reasonable in this instance, because he did not want to jeopardize what Paul was trying to do to reach the Jewish people. You and I could probably think of several scenarios like that as well. Where we know if we do this, it might offend these people. So we're not going to do this. If we know it's going to offend them, we don't want to do that. Why? Paul said, I'm not going to get any offense to the Jews or to the Gentiles, but I do want to become all things to all people so that I can by all means save some. And so we see that he is a reasonable type of guy. Paul was able to talk to him and instruct him and let him know what he's doing and why he's doing it. And he didn't have any objection to that, so much so that they supposed that Paul had probably let him in there because of Paul's lax Gentile standards that he had. Now, by the way, there's a couple other qualities we're going to look at with this guy next week. But when you look at these qualities, reasonable, what would you say you are just unreasonable with? I'm just that's just it. I'm unreasonable with that. It ain't going to happen. No. What is it that you're unreasonable with? Perhaps we need to be a little bit more reasonable. Why? It worked here. It worked for Paul. So much so they supposed that he had done something that he did not do. You know, in our Christian lives, in our Christian character, reasonable is something that God would have us to be. Reasonable. But then we look at Tychicus, lovable and faithful and reliable are some things that you and I ought to have in our lives as qualities in character. But then we look at Timothy's life. We saw that he was movable. He was able to get moved around. He was adaptable. He could adapt to situations. He was mannerable and teachable and trainable and pliable. Those are Christian character traits that you and I want to have, need to have, and should have. Actually, this question, that word that's a positive word that most people know you by, what do you need to do to enhance that word? What do you need to do to work on that word a little bit more? What do you need to do to maximize that word? I'm not talking about the negative words. Negative words, you got to drop that and call that sin. Amen. The positive words, the faithful, the reliable, the dependable, the reasonable. What word would you say most people know you by that you might need to maximize that a little bit better? What might you need to do? One of the things I can tell you, Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto who? The Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. That I may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We want to prove the will of God. All of these men that Paul listed here had a calling on their life of some sort. They wanted to fulfill the will of God. And God was going to use them to assist Paul in the ministry. And by the way, everybody collected here at Shining Light Baptist Church, God wants to use every one of you in a different way, like these seven, for your character strength and your qualities run through the Holy Spirit of God for the edification of the body of Christ. That's the goal. Is to build up this body. It is to encourage this body. These men all rallied behind Paul for one reason and one reason only, to glorify God and to see souls saved. Folks, that is our mission here. Our mission is to see people saved. And God's given you character and quality traits that you need to use for this. Look beyond your color and look to others and say, you know what? I can reach others through the calling of God and for the cause of Christ. It's not just about me. I want to reach others. And I guarantee you, you surrender yourself to the Lord, God will work through you marvelously and mightily. You know, this church didn't come into being by accident. It didn't come into being by accident. God has a work that he's doing, and he's using all colors. Why? That's God's plan. Always has been, always will be. Anybody's got a problem with color, guess what? You're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate heaven. Amen. It's not going to be fun for you at all. Aren't you glad you're going to get a glorified body, a glorified mind, so you don't have to worry about that? Amen. Get all that stuff wiped away. Amen. But heaven is going to be a little bit of all nations praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's maximize the character that God has given us for the glory of God and let him work through us as these men work with Paul for the glory of God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for what we have learned with these men. And Lord, I pray that we might sense the character traits and the qualities you have in us. Lord, negative ones, God, help us to give those over to you that you may work those out. Lord, but positive ones, help us to maximize those for the glory of God, Lord, that we might see souls saved. Lord, we might be reasonable. We may be pliable. We may be durable. Lord, we may be all the things that we've looked at in these seven men. And Lord, as we finish out next week with the next man, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, but help us to all examine our own hearts, examine our own lives, Lord, that we may be exactly what you would have us to be for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen.